listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
As I said before, we have the awesome Nick Stanford coming to... Oh, he is here. He's not coming. He's right here to preach tonight. Just for a bit of background, he is... I was about to say he's a gun. He's a cannon who is on fire for the Lord. He's a young man who has invested a lot into the young people of our church. Through the CFC Seton Youth organization, which a lot of us young people go to. So he's the coordinator of that, and he spends a lot of time investing in us young people. So he is investing in the future of our church, which is pretty awesome. He does a lot there where. It's another second home for us, so it's really awesome to have him come to our other home and share. So I think it's going to be awesome. I'm going to get my notes ready. I'm going to write down a lot. So I hope that you guys can just enjoy and soak up what he has to share. All right, thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Malachi. I don't think in my entire life I have ever been introduced as a cannon, but I will take it. I will take it. Well, it is truly a privilege and honor to be here, and I do already feel like, yes, that I am in the same church, just in a different location. I have the privilege of leading our youth ministry at the Christian Family at Seton, but already, like, being here this afternoon, it does feel like it's the same family, just in a different building. With different people, but it is awesome. I'm so privileged to be here. A little bit about me. I'm 23. I'm just in your youth bracket, so I'm glad I'm still there. I've been a Christian for about 12, coming up to 11 or 12 years now. I've lost count, but I've been running our youth ministry for 3 years, being a youth leader for 6. And a bit about me is that my life pretty much at the moment revolves around investing into the next generation, into some of these awesome young guys here and back at Seton. I just love working with teenagers. I think there's nothing that excites me more than seeing young people on fire for God doing things for the kingdom. And I just have this aching, this passion, almost this holy discontent, knowing that what I'm doing is raising up the next generation of church planters, church leaders, doctors, teachers, lawyers, whatever it might be, because I think our world needs more than ever is a godly generation in our workforces, in our places, and in our churches. And so that will always be the thing that oozes out of me. I love it. I'll do it. I've said to Pastor Sam Chester, I will be doing this until you kick me out of youth ministry. I will leave kicking and screaming. But it is one of the greatest privileges I have. And I want to thank as well, while I'm here tonight, like, to honour the team that are here, Pool Force, and everyone that has done a great job at investing into the young people already here, because you guys have got an incredible group of young people that I have the privilege of also investing into. But I think I get to just do the extra work that has already been so many, like, so planted, done so well, and it's just amazing to see. So love you guys and love the team that are here. Tonight, I want to share, I won't be too long, I want to share around this idea of God still using us amongst our mess. God still using us amongst our mess. If I got a title for tonight is, I'm not afraid of my mess. And for all of us, I think we have different internal dialogues, different things. We might be facing different situations that I think we can always use as reasons as to why we might not be used by God. Like, I'm not going to do this because I'm not old enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not cool enough. I'm not like, I've got this going on. I'm too messed up. I've got this broken situation. This, like, the list, we can list off so many things. But the premise of what I want to share tonight, and to encourage you and to leave you knowing, is that God would be able to use you despite what you're facing. and almost that he is a God that can use your situation and still be able to use it to bless people. And but just to kind of speak of mess, as a teenager, I was horrendously messy. Like terribly, terribly messy. Like, I am so sorry to my poor mother who had to clean up so much after me. I would just leave trails of food, trash, everywhere. And I remember always getting so, so frustrated. And I feel like I'm going to just like resonate with the parents in the house. Whenever like people are coming over, my mother would always like be screaming and yelling at me like to go clean my room because people were coming over. Just like, you have to go clean your room. And I remember as a teenager, I'm like, what? That's not, what? First, two things. I don't want to clean my room. My room is messy and I like it that way. Young person, that is a terrible excuse not to clean your room, by the way. Secondly, why are these people that you're inviting over to our house to go into my bedroom and see? It doesn't matter if it's messy. People, why would some random person that I don't know need to come into my bedroom and see it? And the short answer I got was, I'm your mother, this is my house, and you will clean your bedroom. And because I, after a bit of arguing, I'll go clean my bedroom. But now, as an adult, I share a house with a couple of housemates who are awesome, and I'll have to reluctantly admit, I get it. No one's coming into my bedroom, but in the very small, slightest chance that I have people over, that they might see my bedroom, I do not want them to think I'm a slob. So my bedroom is clean, especially if coming over. My bathroom is clean. I live, like right now, my living situation is four of us mates, four of us guys living together. So the bathroom's going to be dirty. So I got to make sure it's clean because I don't want them to think that we're a bunch of slobs. But I get it. I don't want people to see my mess. I don't want people. I'm so scared and terrified about people seeing that, that I will go over and beyond to clean it. Now, I reckon for you and I, we can sometimes treat God like that. That our relationship with God, like I am not going to do things for the kingdom because it's too messy right now. I'm too broken. I've got too much going on. There are other people that can do it far better than me. And you have that internal dialogue. Maybe even for some people here tonight that you've had that even spoken over you. Maybe someone has said something to you that you now believe, that you're not good enough, that you're not wise enough, that you're not mature enough to be able to use by God. But the essence of what I want to share tonight is that God isn't looking for the most perfect, have it all together, like super duper whiz bang, super Christian, tick all the boxes kind of person. He's not looking for the most talented person, but what he is looking for is someone that will say yes to him. Someone that will say yes to him. God is not looking for great ability. He is looking for availability. He is looking for people, men and women of God, despite their circumstances, despite their age, despite their experience, that would actually say yes to him. Because I reckon we are so good, particularly these days, so good at knowing our own faults, our own inadequacies, knowing like I'm not good enough. Like, I could spend the next 40 minutes talking about how many mistakes I've made, how like issues I've got. Like, I could do that, right? But let me tell you that I also know of a God that can do the impossible. That I serve a God that is powerful. That I serve a God that can do all things. And God, we all have gifts and talents that can be used for God, that can be used for building the kingdom, building the church. But I can tell you, God can do so much more with a yes than he can do with talents and gifts. He can do so much more when we respond and say yes to him. It says this in Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Now, God uses people who are wanting to say yes, that know that who God is, that who that we put in trust. When we say yes to God, we are actually yielding ourselves, saying, "Hey, look, I may not be good enough. I may not have it all together, but I know who does, and it's God. And He's the one that's working through me to help the people in my workplace, in my school, in my family, in my situation." And sometimes that is the most comforting thing to know, is like, yeah, I've got some things going on, but I'm so glad that it's not me doing the work sometimes, but it is Him who's working through me. And it's His power and His empowering through the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you that. Is that your position this evening? Is that your position tonight? Because I want to tell you that when we say yes to God, when we say yes to going after Him, not having necessarily all the answers or having it all worked out, it is one of the best things we can do. It is one of the best decisions we can make. And yes, we're still on that growing journey, that discipling journey where we're learning and growing as we go. But man, God can do something special with a yes to Him. I want to read this passage from 2 Corinthians 12:9. And this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. You might have heard this passage before. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul is writing this as an encouragement to the church in Corinth, and it's like God is made powerful in my weakness. Hallelujah, on my day, be done, awesome. But if you go back like two verses before, there's a reason why Paul says this. There's a reason why Paul is writing, and a reason why he spurs on the church, and why for us today to grab this is because Paul directly refers to the fact that he is also struggling with something, that he has also got stuff going on in his life, that he hasn't got it all together, that he's facing his own things, that he is praying for God to break through for. But he is standing in and declaring that God is still the powerful one despite his weakness. It says this in verse 5-8. "I'll boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weakness. Even if I should choose to boast, I will not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." Now, we don't know what Paul actually means by thorn in flesh. Like, is it a physical ailment? Is it a spiritual ailment? Or what's actually he's referring to there? But we do know what Paul is referencing is that he's got something that he is pleading with God to break, that this is something that is actually affecting him. But despite that, he says, "I will boast in my weakness. I will boast in Christ because He is the one that empowers me. He is the one that gives me strength." So what does this mean for us today? We have that internal dialogue. We tell ourselves, I'm not good enough, or there's someone better that can do it. I'm not that perfect. I'm not as good as that person, whatever it might be. But when we read that, God is encouraging us today to shift our focus. Because we're so good at looking at like the things in our life, our circumstances, what's going on in the inside. But He's saying, switch it to me. Focus on me. Look at me. When you say yes to me, you are saying yes to the God that can do all things. Yes to the God that can do the miraculous. Yes to the God that is the comforter. Yes to the God that you don't need to have all the great skills or abilities, but you've got me and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so for you today, what is that? What is that situation? What is that thing in your life that is holding you back, that inner dialogue that says, "I'm not good enough," or "I can't do this because I'm not that"? What is that for you? Because God would be saying, "I am enough. I am greater than that voice. I am greater. I am the empowerer." And so for us, God can still use us in a mess. So let's focus on Him. Now, I remember recently, and as Malachi shared, and I've said that I have the great privilege of leading our youth ministry at Seton. And it is fun. It is fun. We do all sorts of crazy, fun, wild stuff. Ask some of the boys and girls, and they'll surely tell you some of the stuff we do. And we, with that, we buy a lot of stuff, and it kind of accumulates over time, over years, where, you know, we're playing games, and we've become like hoarders. And we're always like, yeah, no, we could use that for a game down the track, or we could still use that. Like, we don't want to put anything to waste. We don't want to waste that good bucket, or like the most random of garbage that probably should be thrown out. Or as some of these guys and girls heard on Friday night, we had a kitchen cabinet that had not been used for a year because it was just so messy, and our youth cupboard got so horrendously messy you could not walk into it. It was an absolute bombshell. And it was just like, I remember we ignored it for so, like, an unholy amount of time. It's been there for, like, the last 8 months. We'd open it up and just go, nah, I don't need anything tonight, so I'm just going to close it and go away. I'll just buy something. I'd rather just buy something new and use it again. It was just terrible. But we got to the point, the holy discontent kicked in. The like, this has got to be fixed. We had our youth camp coming up, so we're like, all right, we've got to clean this. And I remember just thinking, how are we going to get this done in time for youth camp? Because we messaged the team out, and we're like, we've got to get everyone together. This is like a 10-person job to clean this thing. I messaged the team out to say, hey, everyone, come to church. We're going to do like a working bee. We're going to together deal with this mice infestation that's around the place. We're going to clean it out, sort it all out. And two people responded. And I have never felt more discouraged in my ministry life than that moment. And so me and Rachel, who I lead with, we were sitting there just like, how are we going to get this done? I remember we pulled everything out, and the whole youth room was just covered in junk. And I'm like, this is just, I can't do this. I can't sort this out. I like clean things, but I'm not a neat, organized person. I need someone to come in and do that. And like, I could talk about heaps of different things about mess, but there's everything in life, and I've talked about it before, we can look at and just think, how can I do that? God's calling me to this. I feel like I have a purpose here. You might feel that, like, that where you're planted in your workplace, your school, your university, your family, you just have that inner within you that you're like, yeah, this is something that God is calling me to, but I don't know how to step out into it. Like, I don't really know how to do it, and all that internal dialogue kind of kicks in, and we're like, I don't think I'm good enough to be able to do that. And there's a story we probably know the famous story in the Bible where Moses encounters God for the first time at the burning bush, and God calls him to free his people. And in the whole conversation, I won't go through the whole thing, every step of the way, God's like, go to Egypt and free my people. Yeah, but Pharaoh's not going to really listen to me. And it's like, God's like, I'll give you what to say. Oh, I'm not really a good talker. Like, I'm not really good with my words. And God goes, well, all right, I'll send Aaron with you. And he's like, what will they listen to me? He's like, well, what I'll do, I'll even give you that staff in your hand, and I'll be able to perform signs and wonders so they'll know. So, and he keeps coming up with different reasons why not. And every time God comes back to him and says, you're forgetting who's sending you. You're forgetting who is sending you, who's equipping you. He gives him the staff, and he's like, hey, Moses, it's not about you. It's not about you for a second. Like, but I'm the one sending you. You're not sending yourself. I'm aware of some of your inadequacies. I'm aware of some of your shortcomings. But remember, I'm the one sending you. The God that created the universe, the God that created the world, I am sending you. So, for us today, for us here now, where is God sending you? Look in your world, like, where has God placed you right now? And to think, maybe I'm, and for me, I'm like the biggest, like I'm a dreamer. I love to dream the impossible, dream the miraculous. And I am often just sitting there thinking, how the heck am I going to do that? How am I supposed to do this? Just recently, we in our youth ministry, we came up with this crazy idea. It was called Project 147. And I had this basic dream that I wanted to see our young people doing like youth programs or running Bible studies, doing all sorts of things in 15 schools in the western suburbs. And I was like, I was so excited and so amped. I'm so expecting what God's going to do. But I also sat there and I'm just thinking, how am I going to do this? I am not that organized. I am not that talented. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough people. Are young people actually going to do like? I had all these questions going. And I remember just as I'm praying, as I'm worshiping, as I'm mulling over, I just felt God reminding me and coming out of this passage. It's like, who's telling you to go do that? Who's the one sending you? Who's the one equipping you? Not yourself, it's me. God was reminding me, saying, it's me sending you. It's me that empowers you. And for us, for each of us, you know, we might be facing something. We might be going through something. We might have a dream. We might have a passion. Whatever it might be. But God would be saying to you today that if you're feeling like I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, I don't have it all together, He'd be saying today, your power is not in yourself or your gifts, your talents. It's in me. The Holy Spirit, the one who equips, the one who loves you, the one who died for you and saved you. Can I have the band up? Now, this also isn't like, I want to clarify, this isn't a, when I say like, hey, it doesn't matter what you're going through, and so you just, if you're going through all this, and you just don't worry about it, don't deal with it, just go after things of God. Obviously, it's so important to still, you know, yes, we've got things going on, to still be able to deal with it. And that's why we have pastors and leaders and people in our lives that we come to, we talk to, because it's so impossible to lead people if we're not being led ourselves. And so that, like, I would encourage you, you know, yes, we believe in the God that can do all things. And so we got to get around people that can also support us, because we don't want to stay where we are. We want to move forward. So tonight, I just want to pray for a couple things. I just want us to, for a couple things to just, if you're feeling like, man, I'm not, like you've had some internal dialogue, maybe someone has said something to you, maybe you're feeling like you aren't worthy enough, you aren't good enough, that you're, that like, I'm so broken. How could God love me? How could God use me? I want to be able to pray for you tonight, and for God to come in and tell, and in a moment to be encounter you and say, and pray for you to say that God loves you, that those things aren't who you are, but who you are is who God says you are, and that despite that, that God can use you. That despite what you might say of yourself, despite what the world even might say of you, that I am the one that calls and equips you. That I am the one that loves you and never forsakes you. Or for you, if today you have that, you have something, you might feel so called to, like, your workplace, your like university, school or something, and you just have this passion to do something, but you don't know where to start, or you're feeling like it's too big or too impossible, that God, that to be able to give you a chance to pray for you and just pray a blessing and empowering, that God would empower and equip you, and that your focus would be switched onto Him. Maybe even for God to inspire you with some ideas, so God inspire you and empower you to do those things. So I wish I could have an opportunity to come down the front and pray, but COVID. So I'm just going to ask everyone to close their eyes, bow their heads. And if that is you tonight, if that is you, if you're feeling like I am not worthy, I am not good enough, I'm so messed up. How can God love me? How can God ever care about me? How could God even use me in my mess? If you are feeling that tonight, I want to speak the truth of God of how much He loves you, how much despite your mess, that He still sent His son Jesus on the cross to die for you. And just with your eyes closed, head bowed, with no one looking, just between you and God, if that is you, I'd love to pray for you. And if that is you, just with no one looking, you can just lift up your hand. If you're thinking, I am not worthy enough, maybe some self-doubt, some personal conversation, maybe something someone says, just right where you are, just pop your hand up and I'll be able to pray for you. Lord, we just pray right now for those that are feeling unworthy, that are feeling like they're not good enough, they're feeling like they can't be used by you, Lord, that you would let them know tonight that despite their mess, that God, that you can use them, that you can do all the miraculous work, and that they would not be focused on what they can't do, they would be focused on what you can do, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, finally, I also want to pray for anyone here tonight that feels the pressure or has that calling, that passion to go do something in their, wherever they might be planted or where they're based in their world. Lord, to not make, so that they wouldn't feel like they're not good enough to be able to pray for someone, encourage someone, do something. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would empower them. Empower them to reach their friends, to reach their family, to reach their community. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to finish with a song. And I'm going to be here after the service if you would like prayer for any of those things. But I encourage you, maybe just even asking as we're singing, we're going to sing a song to finish. Ask God to maybe encourage you. Maybe if you're still feeling like that, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, allow these songs, another in the fight. There is someone standing next to you amongst your situation. There's someone standing there with you that is carrying you even in the mess, even in the struggles, even in the trials. So why don't we stand to our feet and we're going to sing this song and we're going to hand back over the team. Thanks, band.